You guys have heard me talking about Hormone Harmony by Happy Mammoth, the supplement that helps women maintain optimal hormone levels with over 50,000 glowing reviews from women worldwide and 98% saying that they recommend it to friends and family. Now you can take those results even further by pairing it with prebiotic collagen protein, which helps restore gut lining integrity, promoting overall hormone balance. It helps to relieve occasional bloating and gas, reduce sugar cravings and help you feel satisfied longer, support healthy, sustainable weight management, and boost energy and help stabilize mood swings. Because your gut directly affects your hormones, improving gut health can amplify your Hormone Harmony results so that you can feel like yourself again. Y'all know I have a lot going on, and sometimes that includes digestive issues and brain fog. So I'm really excited to try this prebiotic collagen protein. Happy Mammoth is dedicated to making women's lives easier, and that means using only science-backed ingredients that have been proven to work for women. They make no compromise when it comes to quality, and it shows. Right now, you can try prebiotic collagen protein and Hormone Harmony risk-free and get 15% off your entire first order with code BLESSED at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use code BLESSED for 15% off today.
You are listening to Blessed and Bossed Up, presented by Anchored Media, an entrepreneurship podcast for Christians all about how to make God the CEO of your business. Get ready to be inspired, challenged, but well-equipped to live and build your destiny His way.
Welcome to another episode of the Blessed and Bossed Up podcast. I am super excited about today's episode because we have a special guest. We have Mr. Edward R. Williams here, who is a financial expert, and he's going to be educating us on how to build wealth for beginners. So, Mr. Williams, I have to thank you first and foremost, because my husband and I, of course, work with you on just wealth building for our family, and I've learned so much about the foundational thing. And our son just turned one, and it just made me feel so good as I'm planning his party and all these elaborate things to know that, yeah, he's going to have all the stuff, but his financial future is secure as well. And he's going to grow up and have something that we're leaving him, so he's not starting from ground zero. We're giving him a head start with his life. So I really just appreciate everything you've done for my family. And that's why I wanted you to come on the show, because building wealth is something that's popular on social media. It's something that we hear a lot. Everybody is a wealth expert online. I mean, we got quotes and Twitter pages for days, but I really just wanted to talk about the foundational things so that you can educate me and my listeners about how we can practically build wealth. So before I get into my first question, just tell everybody who you are and what you do.
Yeah, Edward R. Williams, father first, and I own Williams Financial Group, which is based in Hunt Valley, Maryland. All we do is we teach and educate our clients on income, on how to achieve just never-ending chains of income. So Tatum, listen, thank you for having me here today, because this is our mission. You know, this is my mission. I love helping. And so thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's start with you a little bit before we get into the wealth. How did you even get into financial planning, financial education? What's your story?
Yeah, so I grew up in inner city Baltimore, and you know, dad was a taxi cab driver and mom was a sports secretary. So we didn't really have such great means. And you know, my dad's idea of saving was probably just putting money in his socks and pockets. And so for me, this is what I grew up seeing. And that was our investing. All right. If you got money in your socks and pockets and you got monies in your refrigerator, then you're doing well. But later on, I managed to scrape up enough money for me to go to school and apply for aid and that kind of thing. And I studied finances and went to undergraduate at Howard University, Business School, University of Maryland. Got my first job out of college working on Wall Street. I worked for Merrill Lynch. Did investment banking in the mergers and acquisitions group. So I was a kid coming out of college and I was blessed to make the income that I did. But later on, I lost all of it, you know, lost every single dime, you know, and then I had to literally put together strategies for keeping it and learning how to invest. And so that's pretty much what led me into opening my own company.
That's awesome. So do you mind sharing what happened?
Yeah, no, absolutely. So I worked in New York, and then I got transferred to work internationally, and I had all of the material possessions, right? I had all the symbols of wealth, but I didn't really have any of the creations of wealth, because every dime I made, I was spending. Now, I was a kid, right? I was a kid making well over $100,000, and you know, I was the dinners, the lavish dinners, and the beautiful cars, and the rooftop apartments, and I was a renter. I wasn't an owner. And one incident happened that made me just look at myself. And my dad, who's literally my hero. I mean, I'll do anything for my dad. He got sick with diabetes, and he had given me everything he had throughout his whole life. He's the reason I went to school. And so he got sick with diabetes, had to get hospitalized, and asked me if I can help take care of mom, you know, if I can help him and help take care of mom while he's sick. And I looked in my pocket, and I didn't have anything. I had absolutely nothing, you know, and I'm looking around. I'm like, wait, I see this over here. I got this Rolex here, and I got this great Mercedes here. I got this Maserati. I got this beautiful rooftop apartment. I go out to dinners, and I'm living internationally. How come I can't help dad right now? Mm-hmm. What am I doing with my money?
Mm-hmm.
What am I doing? You know, and that was, yeah, that literally, you know, that fueled everything.
That's good. I think a lot of people come to that point. It may not be that situation in particular, but a lot of people come to the realization to where I have a lot of liabilities, but where are my assets? Like, life may happen and I have all of these things, but where is the real stuff that I can be able to drop everything and help my family? Or a pandemic hits, what happens? My job is taken away. Where is I have the nice things, but where's the wealth to be able to sustain my family during this difficult time? And so I think that's so relatable for a lot of people. Can you talk though about what was step one? After you came to this aha moment, what was step one to building wealth?
Yeah. So when I realized that I just wasn't in any type of position to help my dad, step one is just taking accountability for that. You know, just looking at myself and you know, putting pen to paper and saying, okay, where are my finances going? And you can do that through just a budget or however you choose to do it. My step one was just literally assessment. Where am I right now? I make this amount of income. I have these expenses. Where am I right now? Let me see if I can budget this out. So that's first step one. You gotta really have an honest assessment of where you are, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, we like to think that we look good, but where are we on paper?
So for the person, and we're going to get to audience questions later, but there was one that someone submitted that I think makes sense here. Once they get to that point where they see their income and expenses, how do they have that accountability to where they don't end up back in the same position? Because I think a lot of people's reasons why they don't have the level of wealth that they want is because they aren't disciplined in their money decisions. So how can somebody get rid of that poverty mindset or discipline themselves to where they can do the practical things to build the wealth?
Yeah, what you're talking about is growth, and growth is a process. You're gonna have, but you've gotta always have a growth mindset. What I did, I'll tell you a little bit about what I did after I realized where I was. We call it something different now. We call it the wedge. But when I first got started, Tatum, I took a box, and I had just like this empty box, and I said, okay, let me put in this box, you know, some basic things that I currently have, you know, and it was a combination of insurances, investments, and estate planning. And I said, all right, do I have disability insurance? Because if I get hurt, I'm sick or hurt, then I can't, you know, I can't provide, right? I can't provide for my household. Do I have basic disability insurance with my employer? Okay, I got something, some statement here from my employer. Let me dump that in the box. Then do I have, you know, life insurance? Dump that in the box. Do I have health insurance? Dump that in the box. Whatever I have, even if it's some fraction of something, you know, do I have some investments? Okay, I had some Robinhood stuff, some micro, you know, micro stocks and some investment accounts. And that wasn't much, but I dumped that in the box. Okay, so I got some investments in here. Let me dump that. Estate planning, you know, do I have that? You know, like wills, durable power of attorneys. And I didn't have any of that, right? I didn't have any of that. So I put these things in a box, and it showed me where I was. And I built this solution that requires a certain amount of insurance, a certain amount of investments, a certain amount of estate planning. And took what I had. And if I was deficient in an area, then I would go out and just get what I didn't have. And then just strengthen it every single quarter. You know, I'm looking at my statements every quarter. I mean, it fueled me. It fueled me to build. But the only reason that I had that epiphany is because other people counted on me. You know, sometimes we can be just complacent in our own sloth. Right? Yeah. If you got your dad and your loved ones and your family counting on, who needs you to be on your A game? So from then, I took that box and just started strengthening it every single quarter, every single quarter, every single quarter. Looking at it, if I can add a little bit more into my investments, I would add a little bit more into my investments. If I could purchase a larger life insurance later on, I would purchase it. But, you know, I just started very slowly. So I took that box of being my assessment. I knew where I wanted to be, right, which is the end destination. And then that box just gives me the game plan of just building. Every single day, every single quarter, every single year. So that's what I did. I know it's not orthodox, but that's what I did. Now we teach it in a lot better.
This episode is brought to you by Skillshare. Skillshare is an online learning community that offers membership with meaning. With so much to explore, real projects to create, and the support of fellow creatives, Skillshare empowers you to accomplish real growth. You guys know I love Skillshare. I'm all about learning different creative skills, growing and honing in on the skills that I have, and just finding new ways to get better and new things to get better at. In this episode of the podcast, we're talking a lot about finances, but a big part of that is mindset and being intentional. One of the top classes on Skillshare right now is called Document Your Life, 4 Methods to Live More Intentionally. This one is a staff pick and is taught by Nathaniel Drew, who is an online content creator. So if you want to be more intentional and more present and not just consuming so much content, definitely check this out and see if it's right for you. Do something today that you couldn't do yesterday with classes designed for real life. Skillshare is also incredibly affordable, especially when compared to pricey in-person classes and workshops. An annual subscription is less than $10 a month. Explore your creativity at Skillshare.com/blessed and get a free trial of premium membership. That's Skillshare.com/blessed to get a free trial of premium membership. Let's get back to the show.
So what I'm hearing based off of what you said is that the first step is to understand how much money you actually have. So how much is coming in, where it's going, and then after that, plan for risk. So if something happens to me, is my family taken care of? If not, let me get some type of policy or whatever for that. If I something happens and dying, let me make sure I have life insurance policy. If something happens as far as being disabled and I'm no longer able to work, let me make sure I have something for that. If there is a pandemic or something goes on and I'm out of work, let me make sure that I have enough savings to plan for that. So I'm just trying to make it practical, like I said, as somebody who is very basic when it comes to this. But I know you said that that was an unorthodox way where you had the boxes, but I think the method is pretty simple and easy for anybody to pick up.
Yep. At first, so, where you are, right? And after you understand where you are, the second phase of any type of planning is to make sure that you don't go backwards from where you currently are, right? And you do that with, maybe putting the protection in place. And then once you got that locked and loaded, then you can build everything else. So you said it beautifully.
That's good. Okay, so one thing that I really appreciate about you and your company is your attention to the church community, because churches, I don't hear too many churches talking about building wealth. I hear churches talk, of course, a lot about tithing. Prosperity gospel is a big thing, but I don't see many churches that are really talking to the congregation about the foundations of building wealth. So what was it that stood out about the church community that you wanted to focus on that when it came to your business and educating?
So I was raised in a church. That's first. I think that, what I've understood over the years is you have to give, always give back, always give. Mm-hmm. And since I was raised in a church, I saw my family really relying upon with how the church can help in dire situations. And so now, since I have certain luxuries, I can pick and choose the markets that I want to help. I can pick and choose the markets that I'm most passionate about. When I was doing investment banking, I didn't have those luxuries. If someone didn't have, back then, I don't know what it is now because I've been out of that field for a while, but if someone didn't have $300,000 to start, I mean, I couldn't even work with them. This was... Mm-hmm. The minimum, and so just think about the type of people who just got 300 grand laying around, right? Mm-hmm. Who got 300 grand around, laying around, they get all these, great tools to help multiply that 300,000 into millions. But the people who don't have that laying around, who do they get? They get the people who are, most of the time barely even licensed, right? They get the people who might not have such ammunition behind them, and so they aren't destined for that greatness, that same greatness that other client who had that cushion of money is getting. So, being a man of faith, first, after I left that field, I thought about who I wanted to serve most. Which group am I most passionate about? And then it was an easy decision for me. I came back to the churches and knocking on doors, and I'm saying, "Hey, look, who do you guys have managing your finances? Who's helping you?" And what I found was, it's tons of work to do with getting quality guidance, and that's where we've stepped in and just tried to serve and give back.
That's good. And even from a business perspective, I think a lot of people stay away from working with faith-based communities because it's that misconception that they don't have the money to pay for certain services. And so it would seem to me that it would be risky for you to build this business and have a target audience that's churches. So did you find any any pushback, or was it difficult to build the business working with this demographic?
Yes. Yeah. And only for certain reasons, right? I mean, with faith-based community, I mean, it comes in all sizes and colors, right? You can't and choose who you want to help. I mean, as you mentioned, you get the well established, and then you get the ones who aren't established at all. And what I found is it's a lot before you can go in and start talking about the different types of financial tools to use. You have to explain to them why they aren't further down the line. You have to explain to them why they're bleeding. You have to explain to them, hey, listen, I know you don't know what you don't know, but I can't have you sitting in this position because this is a bad position. Mm-hmm. And they might not believe you, right? So then you have to change mindset. So we added on a certain dimension to our practice of motivation and personal development and just really transforming mindset first, mm-hmm. before we can sprinkle in all the financial solutions. So that was the challenge. When you're helping such a broad demographic of the faith-based community, you're getting the very savvy, and you're getting the not so savvy at all, right? Mm-hmm. And so the challenge has been helping the entire group, right? Because you get some who just they need you to help with their mindset.
That's good, because I think mindset is something just the regular person, especially when it comes to the Black community. I believe that mindset is a huge hurdle that we have to overcome before even getting to build wealth. I remember when I was growing up, only thing I was taught was don't get a credit card. But then when it was time to go get a car, they were like, well, you don't have credit. And I was looking at my father like, well, hold on now. You told me don't get a credit card. They telling me I need credit. What happened? So it looks like I was supposed to get something at some point. Or even especially with like social media, we see a lot of people build brands with influencers and things like that off of flash and designer labels and nice cars. We see people who have taken these PPP loans and bought all the Maseratis and the Ferraris as opposed to putting the money where it was supposed to go. But what are some mindset shifts that you've noticed in particular with people that you've worked with, or some things that you've taught them that have allowed them to go from that consumer mindset to a wealth mindset?
Yeah, I'll just give you some examples that I can think of. Pre-COVID, when we were hosting clients in our offices, I remember, when we initially just started serving the faith-based communities. And one person in particular, not going to mention any names, but one person in particular, she came in the office and she was so confident. And she's like, look, I make this amount every year. I believe it was around $150,000, maybe almost $200,000. I make this amount every year. I got these things and I am golden. Now I just want you to help me get even further along down the line, right, of growth. And so we looked at her materials and she had this beautiful Lexus car. And then I saw that she also had a landlord. And I asked her, I said, okay, Can you tell me, now I made the same mistake as well, how is it possible to have a Lexus and a landlord? Does that go hand in hand with you? I mean, how do you feel about that, right? Now, so how much longer are you going to live in your apartment? Oh, I don't know, maybe 10, 20 years. Like, I got a beautiful place. I mean, it's downtown in a harbor. I'm looking at the water. And I said, wow, how this sounds so familiar. Right. And so this was a mindset that I had to explain to her about ownership. I had to explain to her that it's, these things are great, but I've had to explain wealth. Right. Before I got into the church community, before I started working with the faith-based communities, I was helping a lot of corporate executives and small business owners. Their mindset was a little bit different than some of the faith-based communities, right? When they came to me, and what I found is these guys are planning for 3 and 4 generations ahead. Mm-hmm. They're setting their great grandkids up. I'm talking the baby boomers money. They're setting their great grandkids up, And then when I immediately started working with the church communities and the faith-based communities, it was only a certain group of them, not all, because it's so diverse. But I realized that people were planning for, they wanted to plan, you know, not 3 and 4 stages ahead, but probably in the near future for Saturday night. You know, they're like, okay, let's set some planning in place for Saturday night, not 3 and 4 stages ahead. That was completely foreign for them. And so this was just examples of mindset shifts that needed to happen.
This episode is brought to you by Public. How fitting that in this particular episode, we're talking about building wealth. Public is an investing social network where you can buy stocks for any amount of money and share ideas with a community of investors. I really love Public because when I was looking to invest in the stock market, I didn't know where to start. I didn't know anything about the stock market, where to buy, when to sell, what companies to invest in. But what I think is particularly interesting about how Public does things is that it's bigger than investing. It's a community of like-minded people. And so I get to be a part of conversations about investing, about different companies in the stock market that I'm not getting in my day-to-day life. I recently put some money into a company on Public, and they are explaining exactly what the wins and losses means, how many shares I'm having. And so it's not just me being put into this foreign world, but it's actually explaining what's going on. And like I said, I get to be a part of these conversations, and it's getting me excited about what to invest in next. The app is free to use, and there's no account minimums to get started. With fractional investing, you can buy slices of stock at any amount of money versus the full shares. So you can get started with as little as a dollar. Public.com is creating a new, more inclusive culture for investing. When they say that they want to open the stock market to everyone, they mean everyone. The Public.com community is made up of 40% women and 45% people of color. Go to public.com/BBU to follow me on public.com and see what I'm investing in. You can start investing today, you guys, with just as little as $1. You'll even get a free slice of stock when you join. Just go to public.com/BBU to download the public.com app. Valid for U.S. residents 18 and older. Subject to account approval. See public.com/disclosures. Not investment advice. This episode is also brought to you by BetterHelp. Is there something that's interfering with your happiness right now or preventing you from achieving your goals? BetterHelp Online Counseling is here for you. BetterHelp is the world's largest e-counseling platform. So if you're a busy person who wears many hats, it's sometimes hard to research and make appointments with in-person counselors. And you might find yourself not going at all because that level of convenience isn't there that fits your lifestyle. But with BetterHelp, they'll connect you with a professional counselor in a safe and private online environment. It's as convenient as it gets. You can now get help on your own time and at your own pace. BetterHelp is available worldwide, so wherever you are on the globe, they are here for you. You can schedule secure video or phone sessions, plus chat and text with your therapist. Anything that you share is completely confidential. You can start communicating with your therapist in just under 24 hours. Best of all, it's truly an affordable option, and Blessed and Bossed Up listeners get 10% off your first month with discount code BLESSED. So why not get started today? Go to betterhelp.com/blessed. You simply fill out a questionnaire to help them assess your needs, and you get matched with a counselor that you'll love. That's betterhelp.com/blessed. Let's get back to the show.
That's good. That's good. I think when me and my husband first met you, we had to definitely have a mindset shift as well, because one thing you told us, you were like, I mean, you guys have a good amount of money coming. Where is it going? And we were thinking like, well, where is it going? Food, mostly food, us just doing whatever we want to do. You know, we want to go travel this place. We want to go. And we really, after talking to you, sat down and was like, okay, we're having a good time here. But in order for, and at the time, I think our son was like a couple months old. So it was really that much more important at that time, because we were now starting a family and it was bigger than us. And so we had to really talk and be like, okay, we having fun and all, but we need to figure out how we're making sure that he's taken care of and his kids are taken care of. The Bible even says, like, a wise man leaves an inheritance for his children's children. So we need to make sure that we're just not out here going wherever, whenever, and we're actually planning. So I think that mindset shift is just so, so, so key. So I do want to ask you, like I said, I posted on my Instagram yesterday if anybody had any questions about building wealth. And this is probably...
Oh, ask them all.
These are probably the most questions I've ever gotten.
I got my water here. I'm sitting back. I'm relaxed.
Yeah, so I know we have like some limitations because just your license. So we want to make sure that you stay that way. So if any question that I ask that we have to move on, just say we got to move on and I'll go to the next one.
I'm going to try to address everything. I'm happy you stated that. So I am a fiduciary, right? A fiduciary is someone who is held to higher standards than general public or general license individuals, right? And so when you're talking about investments, you know, it is a certain type of suitability requirements. And so it's not one size fit all. All right. So I'm gonna try to give very general advice. And if anyone wants more specific advice, then maybe you can introduce them to my, you know, my Instagram page, and they can back to my website. They can come and I'll address it directly.
Okay, cool. Yep. I'll make sure we have like your website in our show notes. And then you're tagged here so they can just click on your page whenever.
Perfect.
So the first question is, what should be done when it comes to building wealth? What should be done independently? And then when do you consult a professional?
Okay. Independently. I mean, you always want to save as much as you can. You don't need a professional to tell you that you need to save. So ideally, you want to spend less than you make. Put a little side, set aside a little bit for emergency money, right? Mm-hmm. After that, then you try to invest what you currently have so that you can start multiplying, right? So you can start multiplying your money. So professionals, what they do is, guys like myself, I mean, we just study the markets always, you know, all the time. We look at trends. We analyze our client and what their needs are, and then we just try to find the right pieces to give them. But before that, I mean, you can save on your own.
That's good. I remember we talked recently about, and this is actually a question that someone had about building up retirement for me as a full-time entrepreneur, and you were telling me my options, and what made me exhale and feel like I did something right is that we saved. So the option having money is a lot better than starting with no money. So as far as where to go, we're going to now be in a better position once we start, because we saved the money to be able to get started. So saving was the first step that I did when it came to the business side. And I'm glad I did, because I didn't know what I was saving for or why, but I knew that I needed to have money in the bank. But that leads into the next question, though. What is a good way to start a retirement fund for entrepreneurs?
For entrepreneurs, okay. So if you're an entrepreneur, you probably don't have the benefits of employer plans, you know, the 401ks and the 403bs, 457s. And so you got to do that on your own. So you can open up an IRA on your own. You can open up, if you're, you know, entrepreneur, you might want to open up a SEP. It's a simple employee pension plan. You know, these things are used for, you know, funding retirement, so that when you get to that end of the road and you're ready, you want to retire and just live the fantastic life, then you have that bucket of money over there for you, if your investments are selected properly. So these are just tools that entrepreneurs can use. Roths, traditional IRAs, SEPs. Some can do it the unconventional way and save up money in a life insurance plan. There's numerous ways. I just threw out a few.
Gotcha. Okay. The next question says, what's the best way to deal with debt consolidation on a fixed income?
Ooh, that's a great one. That's a great one. So if you got a fixed income, that means that you're getting only a set amount of money every single month, right? So you get, every couple of weeks, you're getting this thing. So this set money. So that's not going to change. Your fixed income is not going to change. What do you think can change, right? Maybe expenses. Kids, they don't need that PlayStation. They don't need that the eating out. You know, cook your own meals. So if you got a fixed income, there's only one thing that can happen, right? You've got to cut your expenses. This is not a secret sauce. There's no magic that can happen. If you're only going to make this amount of money every single month. So the only thing that you can adjust is your expenses.
Or make more money, right? I mean, these days you could drive or Uber, sell some stuff online.
Fixed. You told me fixed. I mean, of course, I would like to say, all right, yeah, let's go out and make more money. But if you got a certain amount, then you got to work with. You got to start where you are. All right. I'm going to repeat this sentence again. Start where you are. Don't just say, all right, I'm going to go out and get a new job and then I'm going to start planning and start building then and I'm going to get this new promotion. No, start where you are.
Got it. Okay. So the next question is, how do you build business credit?
I can't answer that because you got to consult with a tax professional. I mean, it's so many different. We grow money. We aren't credit professionals.
Got it. Yeah. Next question is, what type of habits should someone incorporate in their daily life to start building wealth?
Mm. Wow, that's great. You know, I showed this statistic in a lot of our seminars. I think just the habit of, you know, trying to put away something, even if it's a dollar, you know, trying to put away something every single month, every single week, every single year, however often you can, putting away something. And if you have a problem of swiping out, then put it into a vehicle that you can't easily touch. You know, put it into a vehicle that, hey, look, I got this dollar. Let me put it in here so that I can have this for later. And this one, I'm going to tell you an interesting fact that I tell a lot of our attendees who come to our seminars. If you just simply save $1 a year and you let it double, right? So you can one year you're going to save $1. The next year you're going to save $2. The next year you're going to save $4. You just let that dollar double and you just keep saving that amount every year. $1 doubled every year for 20 years equals over $1 million. $1
really?
Doubled. I'm gonna send you these numbers. In fact, when we get off, I'm gonna send you the sheet. $1 doubled every year for 20 years equals over $1 million.
So how does the dollar double?
Well,
is that the type of account?
Well, no, you're building momentum. We're not talking accounts. We're not talking about putting it in a type of vehicle. We're just talking about starting, right? Starting where you are and building that momentum. How I had my box when I first started, and I was looking at my box almost, you know, often as I can, seeing, all right, I got this paper and this is my will, and I feel good now. You know, I feel good now. I'll let that fuel me to the next step. Right. Just start. Just dump it. Put a dollar in a bank account. You know, next year, put $2. Just build whatever type of momentum you can. But $1 every year for 20 years equals over $1 million.
That's good. I like that. Someone else asked about CDs. And I like that you said start with you are where you are, because I remember when I first got pregnant, that's when wealth was really on my head. Like, okay, what am I finna do? Like, I have this business. Yeah, cool. But we need to make sure we have other things too. And so I went to my bank that I was banking with and I was like, I think I want to open a certificate. And they were like, okay. And they showed me all the options. And I was like, okay, I chose the option. And I think I did the quickest one. It was like a year, 3% or something like that. I was like, okay, how much do I need to put in? So I put money in. I was like, all right, well, let's just see what happens. So all of my friends and family were asking like, well, what is the baby? What do you need? Da, da, da. I said, well, here's his account for his certificate. Just put money in there. You know, we can afford the basic necessities for his life, but put money in a certificate. He doesn't need that many toys. So they, and so that's what everybody did. And so once he was born and we took a policy out on him, we were able to use the money from our certificate and the interest that it accrued and paid off like the premium for the year. And I was like, oh, this was kind of cool that we were able to do that. I didn't know what I was doing. I just saw, well, if I put some money here, they said it's going to make something. Well, let's just see. Let's do it for a year. I think I put like $500 in there. I'm not going to crumble if I lose $500 or if I just get $500 back. So let's just see. So that was really helpful. And it was kind of cool for me to just see how that worked out. But I think that just is a good step to, or just a good example of starting where you are. Like, you don't have to be a financial expert. Just try stuff. And that worked out for me.
This episode is brought to you by Felix Gray, the blue light glasses that started it all. 5 years ago, Felix Gray realized that our eyes weren't meant to look at screens all day and designed glasses to make daily screen time more comfortable and the workday more productive. Felix Gray lenses filter 15 times more blue light that can make screen time tough on the eyes and disruptive to sleep. You guys know I wear glasses, and so I have these really cute Kepler Felix Gray glasses that are not only cute, but they're able to relieve the symptoms that I feel because I look at a computer all day. So some major blue light sources for somebody like me who's always at a computer. We have sore neck, shoulders, and back. If you're on your phone a lot, you may feel sore, tired. You may have itchy or watery eyes. And so not only will you get a beautiful pair of frames, you're also able to make your life and workday a lot more comfortable. Felix Gray offers classic frame styles made from acetate and hand finished for a durable, lightweight, and really comfortable pair of glasses. Blue light lenses come standard starting at $95 or at your prescription at checkout starting at $145. If you can feel your screen time or if you're not sure if blue light glasses are right for you, start with the best in blue light. Try Felix Gray. With their 30-day money-back guarantee, there's nothing to lose but eye strain. And like I said, in my case, this sore back, neck, and shoulders. Get yourself a pair of glasses made for the 21st century and designed for modern, hardworking eyes. Go to felixgrayglasses.com/blessed for the best blue light glasses on the market. That's felixgrayglasses.com/blessed. Free shipping, free returns, free exchanges. felixgrayglasses.com/blessed. Let's finish off the show.
Yeah, start where you are, you know, absolutely. Absolutely. Yes, indeed. Indeed. And I noticed that you said FINNA. I was like, well, I haven't heard that word in a long time.
We're real relaxed around here.
I'm fitting to do this. I'm a fitting to do that. I like
it. So someone else said, a lot of these questions are the same. Someone said, in this time period, I guess because of COVID and the real estate market and things of that nature, would you recommend investing in a home right now or stocks?
Why is it either or? So an investment can be... Investment is just literally you know, putting your money into something, expecting a higher return than what you put in. And you assume a certain amount of risk and that kind of thing. So I don't know why it should ever be a choice between different types of investments. Again, I don't know that situation, so I can't, I'm not going to advise. I'm not doing any advising over the live, but you know, if they want me to answer that in more detail, then just give me a call, because again, I got to know their situation to say, all right, maybe you guys might need some more tax-free income here. So let's put this into a tax-free vehicle, or maybe, you know what, you guys got too much cap gains here. And so anyway, just tell them to call me.
And I highly recommend any of you guys listening to call, because I really appreciated that when we worked with you, that it wasn't just this umbrella theories of how anybody under the sun can build wealth. It was, this is what y'all got going on, and this is how you guys could build a better situation for yourself. So just that, the way that everything was customized for us, I really appreciated. So someone else had asked about, and this is actually a mindset question, what do you do when the debt feels overwhelming?
That happens often, right? Where, you know, it's just like, you feel like you're carrying this huge gorilla on your back. And I've always, you know, I think about this quote that I heard years ago, and literally just taking it one step at a time, you know, mm-hmm. to come up tomorrow, just taking it one step at a time. We all have debt, right? We put ourselves there, but just take it one step at a time. Maybe pay it the next month, pay a little bit more on that interest, you know, try to get that paid off a little bit, just taking it one step at a time. And I know that sounds easier than what it really is. But, you know, you'll be surprised I think it was John Maxwell who talks a lot about the big Mo theory. All right. The big Mo theory, momentum. You're taking it one step at a time and you're putting that dollar in a bank account. And you're like, okay, put a dollar in a year, next year, $2, momentum, just ride that momentum. And you got to have people in your circle encouraging you as well, mm-hmm. right? So who do you associate with? You know, who's your team? Who's your advisors? You got to all, motivation is a constant thing because it's short-lived, mm-hmm. right? But that you put resources in place so that you don't lose it. And that's what I talked about a lot in my book, Wealth Building for Beginners. I talked a lot about making sure that you have these checks and balances in place so that you don't lose that momentum and you can make it to the finish line.
That's good. That's good. And I think a lot of, especially with that mindset, a lot of it also depends on what you feed yourself. Like, what are you feeding this burden that you feel? Because even with like media, everywhere you go, somebody is trying to convince you to do something, right? We get in the car, you hear the ad on the station, you hear the conversations on the radio station, you're listening to the podcast, you hear ads, you hear the perspective of whoever the podcast is, you cut on the TV, you see these commercials, you see billboards, like they're like these media conglomerates, they control 90% of what we see and hear. And a lot of that really fuels our emotions and our feelings. And then you add social media on top of that. When you're scrolling, there's so much. It's like just overload of everything.
Every day, everywhere you go, just consumption, you know, mm-hmm. even consumption, social media consumption. It's like, wow. Okay, when are we actually producing? Sometimes it might not even be our thoughts anymore. But yeah, mm-hmm. you hit the nail right on the head. I agree with that.
And if we filter what we allow to, you know, enter into our ears and our eyes, I think that'll help too. Just if you're not constantly seeing everybody doing better than you and every brand being built or whatever, and you're just focused on your one step at a time, I think it becomes a lot less heavy, excuse me.
You're one step at a time. That's a postcard right there.
One step at a time. This is a great question for our parents. Someone said, how can I teach my child about finances now?
Oh, that's a great question. Kids, you know, when you're young, you typically have this approach that, you know, you're going to live forever. You know, it's really no sense of urgency to do it now because I got time. And so you just end up kicking the can down the road. One of the things that, and I don't recommend everyone do this, right? This is completely up to you. I don't recommend anyone. I'm not recommending anyone do this. I'm just going to tell you what I did. So with my firstborn son, you know, I started a life insurance plan for him. So that, because life insurance, when you pull money out of a life insurance plan, if you satisfy the requirements, you can pull that money out tax-free. All right. And when he was younger, you know, I set this up when he was born, not because I thought he was going to die, but because that money grows tax-free and compounded interest and dividends if you invest it with the right company, he'll be able to pull out a king's handsome, like just a handsome return, right? So it's, and so that was important for us to set up. Not only that, but for our other kids, I mean, we set up Roth IRA accounts and that sort of thing. So with kids, you know, you can't, mindset, I mean, they've got to mature to a certain level where they want to do it. So then what we did, we just did it for them until they get to that level where they can appreciate it and they know that they want to build on their own. So parents out there, do it for them now. If they can't appreciate it later, they will.
Mm-hmm.
But they will. Because I was a knucklehead earlier. Now I'm like, you know, I'm counting the pennies. People think I'm so tight. I just, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah, great question, by the way. Great question.
So when the kids do then get old enough to understand, what do you pull out all of the statements and go over it with them? Or when they start getting their allowance, do you play bank and have them pay their taxes and their rent or whatever?
Yeah. Yeah. All of the above. All of the above. You know, you can transfer assets over to them and let them know that this was prepared for them. And so they have an obligation to prepare this for the next, and then create that generational wealth, you know? So yeah, all of the above.
That's good. Okay. So a lot of these questions we've already covered. So is there anything else that if nobody got anything else from this conversation, what would you say would be the one thing that you want everyone to walk away with so that they can start building wealth today?
Start where you are.
Mm-hmm.
Start where you are. Wealth building for beginners. Start where you are. Don't try to be anyone else. You know, just start, work with what you have and start growing out your stuff. That's it. That's my message to everyone.
Yes. Well, thank you so much for being on the show, for sharing your knowledge, for going live on Instagram. Just let people know where to find you and how to reach out to you when they want to have those one-on-one conversations.
Yeah, so my Instagram, you can add me with it's Edward R. Williams, right? So the handle is we abbreviated it, so it's EDWR Williams, all right? EDWR Williams on all platforms, social, on Facebook, on Instagram, Twitter, all that stuff. And our website is not abbreviated. You got the whole word, Edward R. Williams. And now if you want to call us, give us a call. Our number is 888-7-RETIRE. All right. 888-7-RETIRE.
Where can people get your book?
So you can get it in Target and Barnes and Noble. You can get it in Walmart. Walmart has it. If you don't want to leave the house, Amazon, you know, go. You can get it online. You know, I like for people to walk in the stores because they have the little podium there and they see our books. I mean, that's pretty cool. But if you want to, you can always grab it on Amazon. The name of the book, again, is Wealth Building for Beginners. All right. And on the 25th, the New York Times is coming out with an editorial. I'm not going to spoil it. But I want everybody to check this out on the 25th. The New York Times is coming out with an editorial on our company. So,
wow. Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
That's a wrap for my interview with Edward R. Williams from the Williams Financial Group. Make sure that you guys check out the show notes for the link to his book, his website. You guys, I can't stress enough the importance of taking the steps to building wealth. Reach out to Mr. Williams and his team to get started on your retirement or anything involving building wealth for you and your family. It's a necessity. Don't think that you can't afford to. Don't think that it's out of your league or that it's something that's unobtainable. It is. So go to his website, edwardrwilliams.com. The link is in the show notes, and I'll see you guys next week.